south. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So if you have your devotional book, we're not done yet. We have one more night, well, technically two more nights. Holy Saturday is the last night, but tomorrow night we will use this as well. But here's our devotion for Holy Thursday, or Maundy Thursday. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. John chapter 13. On the last night before he died, Jesus served his friends by washing their dirty feet. To say goodbye, he did something beautiful for others and invited them to do the same. The gift Jesus gave is connected to the mission and gifts God gave him. Jesus came to make us clean and whole, to wash away our sin and our pride and our fear. Washing feet would show the disciples what Jesus was doing by his dying and rising again. At the same time, it was an invitation to wash the feet of others. Our gifts have been given to us so that we can follow Jesus in blessing other people. The disciples thought it was a weird gift. Your neighbors or family members might think so too. Serve anyways. Share your gifts. So Maundy Thursday, I get the question all the time, what does Maundy mean? Maundy comes from a Latin word that means mandate. And a mandate, as you know, is a command or an order or an instruction that is given to somebody. And we don't really use the word mandate too much these days, but that's what it is. And so the mandate that Jesus gave to his disciples on that night actually doesn't really have to do with the Lord's Supper, although it's tied into that, but it has to do with what he said to his disciples towards the very end of the supper. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. In this way, in loving one another, they will know that you are my disciples. And this is the beautiful mandate that Jesus gives to us, and we're going to talk about that tonight. And everything that happened on that Maundy Thursday, that first Holy Thursday, what we celebrate tonight, all points to that great love of God in Jesus Christ. From the giving to us of the Holy Supper itself, which we will talk about as we eat and drink and celebrate the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the very fact that he washed his disciples' feet, the whole evening was truly about loving and showing the world who Jesus was. As we've seen throughout our journey during this Lenten season in practicing love, love truly does come from faith. Love truly is a fruit of faith. And as disciples of Christ, we are called to love above everything else. So I'm going to do something different tonight. I'm going to ask Gary to come up. And while he's coming up, let me explain to you what's going to happen. A lot of pastors over the years have done foot washings during their sermons on Maundy Thursday, and I said I would never do that because there are three reasons. Number one, I don't like feet. Number two, I really don't like feet. And number three, I really, really, really don't like feet. There's a commercial that comes on TV where that guy, have you seen it, where they lift that toenail up and it's for toe fungus? I literally pass out during that commercial. It's just like, oh my gosh, why would they have such vulgarity on TV these days? I don't know. I just don't get it, right? So I thought to myself, there's got to be another way to do this. And so I'm using Gary tonight as a modern example of washing feet, probably also because Gary could not get his feet up to the basin of the baptismal font. No offense, Gary. We love you. But I started thinking about it. If you listen to what Jesus said to his disciples, the whole reason they washed their feet back then, and Jesus says this very plainly in the gospel lesson for tonight, if you've taken a shower, which they did not very often, your body's already clean. But your feet need to be washed. They need to be washed every day and sometimes more than once a day. Why do you think that was culturally in those days? Well, a lot of them went barefoot and a lot of them had sandals and the sandals weren't very thick. And if you walk the roads of the towns and the villages and the cities of that day, they weren't paved like we have today. They were mostly dust. They had animal waste in them and sometimes even human waste. And if you're walking through that, naturally you're going to get that on your feet. So your feet were very dirty. And the wealthy people, they had servants to wash their feet for them, so they did that. And the poorer people, they just took care of washing their own feet before they went to bed. And so Jesus decided to wash the disciples' feet because it was very important. Well, today we wear shoes, right? And we wear shoes and we don't really have to worry about that. Even our sandals are a little bigger or thicker, and so we don't, and we have roads where there's not animal manure and dust all over the place, so our feet don't get as dirty. So that's my excuse for not washing feet. Good one, isn't it? It took me a long time to come up with that. But anyways, I started thinking, there's a part of us in our culture and society that is really still dirty, isn't there? It's our hands. It's our hands. And when you start to think about it, most of the time, the way we spread germs is by touching ourselves or touching others, right? So in the same way as Jesus washed the disciples' feet, I'm going to wash Gary's hands tonight. I'm going to lead you through this. This is my first time doing this. Don't be afraid. You look scared to death. It's okay. Why don't you give me that hand over there and put it down in here in this basin first, and I'm going to talk while we're doing this, Gary. I'm going to get this wet. It's cold. Oh, that's warm. Let me wash your hand here. So here's the thing. When Jesus knelt down to wash his disciples' feet, he was doing it for several reasons. First of all, because he loved them and wanted them to have clean feet. It was the Passover meal, you know. They were sitting down to eat a special meal together, and he wanted his disciples to have clean feet. But what's miraculous is what Jesus was doing was something even more powerful that some of us don't always get. We'll take this hand and put it in here, Gary, and we'll wash it. You see, what else Jesus was doing was pretty amazing. As he washed his disciples' feet, he was foreshadowing what he was going to do on the cross for them. He was foreshadowing his death and resurrection, that in his death and in his resurrection, we would be cleansed from all disease. We would be cleansed from the decay and the manure of sin and the stench and filth that sin places in our lives. And Gary, just place your hands over the bowl and we're going to rinse them off, okay? He would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He would cleanse us and set us free from sin, death, and the devil forever. And by washing the disciples' feet that night, and by doing so with such great love, he was not only taking care of them and preparing them for the most wonderful Passover meal, he was foreshadowing the greatest love ever given to mankind, that our sins would be washed away and that we would be cleansed and forgiven. So why do you think I'm cleansing Gary's hands at the baptismal font? Thank you, Gary. You can be seated. You. Your hands are now clean for communion tonight, since Gary's serving us communion. So why is it I'm cleaning Gary's hands at the communion, at the baptismal font? Anybody take a wild guess? I planned it that way. Where do we receive the benefit of Jesus' death and resurrection in our life? In baptism. Because in baptism, the love of Jesus pours into our lives, and when we are baptized, as we're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our sins are wiped away. All of our sins from our past and our present and our future, they're gone. We're made clean as white as snow, Scripture says, and we're given the gift of faith, faith that believes in Jesus that saves us, faith that gives us hope in the death and resurrection, faith that saves us by God's grace so that we can live forever. Knowing that even though we're still sinners, when God sees us because of Jesus, because Jesus has cleansed us and washed away our sins and made us holy and clean and wiped us clean as white as snow, because of that, when God the Father looks down at us, he no longer sees our sinfulness, but he sees Jesus. You see, this is what Jesus was doing on that night. He was showing humility and humbleness and servitude. Jesus was showing his great love to his disciples. He was pointing out the power of his death and resurrection and what that would do for his disciples in cleansing their souls and their hearts and their lives. He was showing us how to truly love one another, because those who want to be great in the kingdom must first be servants of God. Those who want to be great in the kingdom to love others must first be servants of God and of each other, because that's how life in this world works. I know, I really feel bad that I don't wash somebody's feet, because that says I'm pretty not humble. I think about it all the time, and actually every Monday, Thursday, it really bothers me. I mean, Jesus did it. Mother Teresa kissed the lepers. I don't know if I could do that either. I have something called OCD. But the reality is, what Jesus says is, if you want to be great in my kingdom, love with my love. And loving with my love means you become the least in the kingdom to make others great. We are reminded tonight that we are each wonderfully and fearfully made by God. Our devotion says we each have different gifts and abilities, right? Obviously, I do not have the spiritual gift of washing people's feet. I will wash your hands for you, not a problem. I do not have the gift of craftsmanship. At my house, when I get out the ladder or the hammer, my wife calls 911 because she knows something dangerous is about to happen. I have other gifts and abilities. I have the gift of gab. I could talk your ears off all night if I wanted to, but don't worry, I won't. And you have gifts and abilities too. Our choir has the gift of being able to sing. Julie has the gift of music and shares us with that beautifully in the organ. Some of you have the great gift of being able to serve in many other ways. God has knit us together perfectly. And as St. Paul says, the hand can't say to the foot, because you don't do what I do, you can't be part of the body. On the contrary, every part of the body, you and I, is needed to make this body function. And so it is with the church. And so it is with the body of Christ, which we are all part of. And so Christ calls us in this wonderful mandate to love each other. He calls us to really know ourselves and how we are made so that we may use our gifts and abilities, those gifts and abilities which he gives to us, to serve others. And it's really cool when we come from that place of using our gifts and abilities, because then it doesn't feel so weird and awkward. It doesn't feel like we're out of our element. Because when we are acting the way and behaving the way and using the way that God has made us, it gives him glory and it benefits those around us. In fact, Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." Each of our good works, each of our gifts, when used in love, when coming from the heart, glorify God and serve our neighbor. And I'm not just talking about those in our congregation and those in our church. I'm talking about those who don't know Jesus. One of the worst ways to get people to know Jesus today is to go up and say, "Do you know Jesus loves you?" It doesn't work. One of the worst ways to get people to know Jesus loves them today is to go over and tell them they're going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus. It doesn't work. One of the worst ways to get people to know, love Jesus today is standing on the roadside with picket signs. It doesn't work. One of the best ways to get people to know that Jesus loves them is by being the presence of Jesus and loving them in your words, in your deeds, and your actions. Use words when necessary. Using the gifts that God has given you. If your neighbor's sick, make some chicken noodle soup. If you have a friend at school who's down, go and sit with them at the lunch table. If you have a coworker who's having a hard time, befriend them, get to know them, walk with them in their journey. And the list goes on in ways in which we can visibly and tangibly be the presence of Jesus. As simply as giving the checker at Walmart a smile, and trust me, I don't shop at Walmart much, but when I do, I know they could really use a smile at Walmart. That's a joke, by the way. You can laugh at that. You see, when we serve others the way Jesus has served us, they experience him. When we serve others the way that Jesus has served us, they experience him. They experience the saving power of Jesus, the cleansing of our sins, the gift of faith, the gift of love, the gift of life, the gift of the resurrection. They experience it powerfully in their lives as they know the overwhelming love of Jesus. Whatever gift, whatever our good work, whatever our act of service done in love, we are pointing our neighbors to the power of the cleansing blood and the life-saving work of Jesus Christ. I know sometimes it's hard to serve other people. I know sometimes it's hard to love other people. I know sometimes it's hard not to speak your mind when people are being rude. I know that. I get that. I'm human too. But when we act from a place of love, when we come from a place of kindness and love with the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, it's not us the people are seeing. It's really not you and I they are encountering at that point, because in our sinful human nature, love isn't there. But they're encountering Jesus. Because God loves us so much that he places his love in each and every one of us. Have you ever thought about that? Even though we are sinners, he loves us so much that he places his love and salvation in each and every one of us so that we can carry it to every person we meet with a smile, with a handshake, and beyond. Yes, sometimes that may mean being humble, serving in ways that seem less desirable, or even having people think we are weird, and trust me, many people think I am weird. But love, the sharing of it, is the greatest gift ever. Our practicing love devotion tonight for our activity says, what gifts has Jesus given to you? Love someone today by serving them with your gifts. Bake, take out the garbage, fold laundry, deliver groceries, or make art for the refrigerator or for the wall. God gave you gifts and asked you to follow Jesus by using them to serve others. Often people are embarrassed by this providing of service, saying, "You don't need to do that. I can do it myself." Serve anyway. Thank them for their kindness and ask them to receive the gift you are giving and to pass it on. In the name of Jesus, amen.